The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
From deep within my bowels, this is Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, Tim, and Gabe.
Fuck Doyle. Fuck Doyle. So now we're recording.
Okay, now we're in this regular recording.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 115 and the new format of the show.
Yes.
So we've been talking about it online a little bit, and we've been working towards it over the last couple weeks, kind of formalizing what we're going to do. So real quick rundown. There will be two episodes every week now that will be about a half an hour in length, each with a more focused subject. And to that end, today's episode is going to be about the Amazon show Good Omens.
Or is it the Netflix show?
It's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
I like
one's
the banter.
One's got a giant blue swoosh and one's got a big fucking red end.
I love the banter between their two Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
You cancel Stranger Things, we'll cancel Good Omens.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, came out this year. I don't have any of it looked up right now.
That's all right. It's 2019.
Yeah.
For those in the future.
2019, and also starring David Tennant.
And Michael Sheen, who I've never heard of.
So Michael Sheen's actually a pretty famous British actor.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Damn Brits.
Also has John Hammond.
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't David Tennant a Brit, too?
Yeah. I was going to just gloss over
it. Damn, I like David Tennant.
It's because all white people look the same.
It's true. All English people.
Oh, yeah, all British people. With the horrible teeth and the... Oh, that's a bad stereotype. My bad. So, no, seriously, Good Omens came out this year. Michael Sheen, David Tennant. Based on the novel by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman.
So good.
Which is a fucking hilarious book if you've never read it.
Never read it.
So we listened to part of it. On the way to San Diego Comic Con last year, remember?
That's
the book we were listening to.
And then your phone freaked out because you didn't have enough minutes.
Exactly.
Or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It was awful. So,
that sounds awful.
I don't remember the book being as funny as the TV show.
Oh, it is. It's very funny. I love it. It was one of my favorite books, probably right out of high school. It was one of the books I read, like, you know, late
1990s.
Yeah.
Damn.
And it made me laugh.
I was 3 years old.
Well, I was, I don't know.
I mean, it's just math.
12 or something like that.
Gabe's old.
Yeah. So I've only gotten the chance to watch two of the episodes of the show so far, but absolutely loving it. It's hilarious.
You said John Hamm was in it?
It's exciting. Yeah.
I don't see him listed in the cast.
He's Gabriel.
Oh yeah, he is. Huh? He's a
secondary cast
member. Yeah,
yeah. He's so like good at being awkward too.
Awkward and like horrible.
I'm here to buy my pornography.
Juan, you were saying you've seen like about three episodes.
I think I'm at three or four. I'm trying to look at the fucking cast list or the episode thing. I think I've watched through four.
Nice. And Tim, you've seen all of it, right?
Yeah, Alicia and I, we binged the whole damn thing in one weekend.
Like, that's probably what's going to happen after we record, is me watching several more episodes of that show. Like, so...
It's such a good watch, especially in one thing, and you're just like, oh, what happens next? Because...
So what's the rundown? Let's give a rundown of what's going on in this show for those who haven't watched it.
So the basics of the show is that the Antichrist is born, and they have to do a little shuffle to make sure that the Antichrist, who is born to one set of parents, actually ends up being raised by another set of parents so that he'll learn to be evil.
Side note, where did the Antichrist come from?
They explain that later.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, that comes up later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's.
I was like, he just appeared in a basket. Like, you don't know anything about us, but I assume he's from Satan is my guess.
Yeah,
but...
basically.
Magic. He's from magic.
But so they have to do a shuffle to make sure that he ends up with the right parents. He ends up with the wrong parents. And because he's raised, like, kindly, he ends up not being, like, evil.
Right.
He ends up just kind of being a kid.
Like a normal person.
And then the kid that was raised to be the Antichrist just gets a rad birthday where stuff turns into a food fight.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of the end of him. But
yeah.
But so these two these two spiritual entities, an angel and a demon, are basically best friends, and they are attempting to thwart the apocalypse through effectively really convoluted logic, where the demon convinces the angel that if he's attempting to thwart the apocalypse, he's attempting to stop what he's doing, and therefore it's good.
They're canceling each other out.
Yeah, they cancel each other out. So it's pretty hilarious. I mean, it's got amazing acting in it. Like, it's just funny. The angels are amazing because they can't interact with people socially.
Yeah.
And the demons are hilarious because they all take their job way too seriously except for him. Like one of my favorite scenes when you first meet, you know, David Tennant's character and he's taking the baby and the demons are telling him, you know, I tempted this one priest and, you know, I tempted this person. And he's like, I shut down every mobile phone for like 4.5 million people. Well, how does that achieve Satan's odds? Well, everybody's pissed off and fighting with each other.
I mean, I'd say that's pretty fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like a total meltdown
for at if least, that happened for at least real. Like an hour. And then they'd be like, all right, I'm over it.
No,
let's go outside. Hopefully.
Nope. I don't know. I've watched people bitch about like a power outage for several hours at a time. So
yeah.
Well, it's because it feels like what it feels like in your house right now.
Hot. Well, so if I would have known that you had come in, I would have had us set up upstairs. But somehow I didn't even hear you come into my house.
I'll be at your house at 6:15. I'm down here. I'm just like, all right, I don't know where the hell you guys are.
I just love that we get a Facebook message saying, you guys here yet? Or almost here? And we're like, shit, were we supposed to go to Juan's? Not realizing he's literally set up downstairs.
Yeah, he's in the basement. You made just don't even
no
know
fucking
it.
Noise upstairs. We you were weren't moving. TV. You weren't doing anything.
We were watching.
I literally
the walking
the fucking. We were watching for the next episode.
The fucking the case is like 50 pounds.
Right,
and so it's like doof 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 coming down the fucking stairs. I'm sliming doors. Like I'm surprised you didn't hear me at all.
We're also stoned. So,
oh man, that is funny.
So you said you and Alicia binge the whole thing. Like,
yes.
Is it like a satisfying conclusion, or does it leave itself open for like a next season? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
It is absolutely both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're flipping off Doyle.
I'm flipping off that bitch ass Doyle who's just now getting here in his America hat.
I heard that Neil Gaiman didn't want to do another season.
I would assume he doesn't. Like, yeah. If it ends the way the book ends, he definitely wouldn't want to do another
okay.
one.
They leave it hanging, you know, but it's still very much over. Like, now you're like, okay, fuck, what are Crowley and, God damn it. Aziraphale are going to do next. So, it's, yeah.
Be best friends.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Best friends forever.
Their relationship makes me sad.
Why?
Because they can't really be best friends.
But they are best
friends. No, I know that. But but I mean, what I'm saying, though, is
it's
that...
It's like you and me, Juan.
But what I'm saying is that the world, they can't profess any of that except for the few times that they can get together and hang out.
Right.
Because they can't, you know, the devil would be mad or God would be mad or whoever. So they can't... So they can't, it's sad because they can't really go out and be best friends. You know what I mean? They right. have to kind of do it behind the curtain. Right, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, we were
talking about good.
We're on time, Doyle. Yeah.
You said 6:30.
I said
you were going to come here at 6:15 to set up the day. You said 6:30 early this week, all week.
Yeah, no, we recorded at 6:30.
It's 6:40.
I said I'm 6:40.
I don't know why you're yelling at me because I was on time.
Here, you take this chair. I'll get that chair.
This is human. I just saw the sexiest motherfucker I've ever seen in my life.
In the mirror?
No. Seriously, I saw a guy. I mean, I can't help it. You know, you see a chick who's dressed like a slut, and you're like, that's a slut. I've never noticed that at a guy before. This dude's ripped as fuck, hairy as fuck, shirt completely fitted 100%. Pants 100% fitted, tied off just below the ankle, no socks. She was walking just like fucking busting out of his clothes. I guarantee you that.
Was he German?
Dude, I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. He was just looking at people like, I fuck you. That part in Spartan 300, when Leonidas is like asking professions, and he gets like, Spartans, what is your profession? I'm like, ugh. I swear if that dude was in there, he's like, I fuck people.
What is your profession? I fuck.
Dude, I've never seen a guy like that in my life. I was like, I'm not gay, but I gotta stay away from you.
I got feelings.
I didn't even know you could get clothes like that. Those were not off the rack. Those were handmade for that man.
Did you watch Good Omens? Like,
this is like the first conversation of like three where Doyle's saying he likes dicks.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
So how about Good Omens?
I watch it. Yeah. Oh, not all of it, but most of it.
What do you think of it so far?
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's so good.
So he was talking about, like, just now Juan was talking about how he feels kind of bad for the for Azrael and Crowley.
Would they both be protagonists?
Yeah, because they're both trying to, like, thwart each other. Even though he's a demon? But anyway, he's talking about how if he feels bad for him because they can't ever, like, be like, yeah, we're friends in front of their friends.
Oh, yeah. You can't come out of the closet.
Right. Maybe they are lovers. Who knows?
You never know.
Think so. They've had, the book.
I mean, they've had a lot of time.
I never read the book, and I don't know. They have every moment of their existence essentially has been with each other when they can be.
Yeah.
You know, you could make a good case that maybe because they're dead they can't have sexual relations, because I don't know how that works.
Dead. They're not an angel.
Dead. Well, yeah. Well, okay, the dead to me. You know what I mean?
They were never people.
Well, okay.
They didn't die. But they're just an angel.
You know what I mean, though, fucker.
They're not ghosts, Juan. If they did, they'd be wearing those pointy white hats. Oh, wait.
Wow. That's no, I don't think that how
wearing,
that works.
They're wearing black hats.
The chattering nuns?
Yeah, the chattering nuns. Why are you talking so much? We're a chattering order. Such a good line. And he gives them real guns.
That's funny. I love that fucking scene.
Oh, man. Like, so far I'm loving it. Like I said, after we record tonight, I'm definitely, that's all I'm going to
I just thought
about.
It was a little slow. That's the only complaint I've had so far, is that it did seem a little bit slower. But it is hilarious.
Yeah.
It is very, very funny.
Episode, in my opinion.
It's interesting because I tried starting to watch it like several times now, but I keep like falling asleep because I'm up too late or whatever. I was like, oh, I should watch Good Omens. And that first episode, just because it just builds to like that one event, it definitely isn't paced quite
right.
Like, it's a little weird, but it's still funny. And then this,
that's what I mean. It is funny, but
episode,
it's,
you're definitely chuckling.
It feels
twice
British.
As much. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's written by British people and like.
Is Neil Gaiman British? I don't know.
Man.
I don't know nothing about Neil Gaiman.
Have you never heard him in an interview?
I've never heard him in an interview before.
He's like extra British.
Is he?
Yeah.
Leonidas asked him what his profession was, it'd be British.
I'm professionally British.
I'm professionally British. That guy fucks people.
I wanted to take a picture, but I didn't want to freak him out. Or get fucked.
Hey, or get fucked, yeah.
So everybody's read the book, it seems like.
Yeah.
You two have read the book. You've watched the whole series.
Yeah. Have you read the book?
I haven't read the book.
Okay. At this point, we're past spoilers. Does anybody mind if he spoils it and kind of tells us what goes on at the end?
So, the final conflict is the Antichrist, he becomes evil and he starts controlling his friends. And then Satan rises up out of the ground to, like, finally, like, you're my son, come join me, fucking Darth Vader this whole fucking earth. And then, find something.
It's true.
So, eventually, Aziraphale and Crowley are like, how do you even know this guy? Your human parents are the ones that raised you. So then the Antichrist is like, you're not my dad, to Satan. It's like, where were you when I was a child? And then, like,
that's
the
funny.
Devil, like, sinks back and he's like, oh, right, yeah, I was a horrible father.
Yeah, that sounds about.
That is the weirdest fucking thing. So
they basically appeal to his human nature,
right?
And because he was raised by humans and learned how to be human, he feels slighted by his actual dad.
Yeah,
it's that moment when you wake up and be like, "Wait a second, that's not my real dad."
The Hellhound has a scene like that too, where the narrator's like, he knew what he needed to do, but he just loved human life so much. He stayed a puppy.
And you know the narrator's supposed to be God, right?
Yeah.
In her all her ineffable wisdom. Of course, there's all the controversy that surrounds it, how it needs to be canceled from Netflix because the...
Did you delete my comment when I commented that? Because you posted it first, and then I was like, it's not on fucking Netflix. And then somebody deleted that.
I don't know.
I put it back up because I was like, maybe Juan wants it to be mysterious that it's not on Netflix.
I may have deleted it if it was under the thinking outside the long box thing.
I don't think it was.
I don't remember. I don't honestly don't remember.
I just
remember.
Thought you were trying to like keep people from seeing that to make up their own conclusion, but I was like,
no, I don't care.
Your fucking Christians getting
no,
kidding.
I don't care. Generally, if you comment even something vile under your own thing, I don't give a fuck.
It's the internet.
Yeah, it just it.
I love the terminology there.
No, that's what I'm vile. Saying. That's what I'm saying. Normally, I don't even care. But generally, it looks funky if we post something and then we comment on our own post with no other like sure. explanation as to sure. what's going. On it looks really weird.
Understandable.
But I don't remember, to be honest.
That's cool.
He's just suppressing your voice.
Me?
Violating the right to free speech.
I don't think so. I want him to post.
I know.
What is what?
Okay, never mind. That's
that's us.
Of some kind.
Yes, that is the.
It's
iPad.
In black and white. It looks security footage like.
Well, no, it's because of the no rape. Lights in here.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I was gonna have a setup upstairs. It's cooler.
I did love episode 3. The most
you did or you didn't?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Because it's exactly like my favorite comic in the Sandman series, where the guy just refuses to die, and so Sandman meets with him every 100 years.
Yeah,
like the fact that they captured that in this show is pretty cool.
Is that the witch? What are we talking about?
So in Sandman, there's a guy who just like refuses. He's like, I'm not going to die. He's in a bar. He's like, you guys are suckers. This whole dying thing's for idiots. So I'm just not going to do it. And Sandman's with his sister Death, and he goes, can you just make that happen? She's like, sure. And so every 100 years, they meet in the same bar and talk about the last 100 years. And they go from like shitty situations to good situations to like these poor, he's rich.
Oh, so you're talking about when they're meeting each other yeah. throughout time. Okay, I got you. I got you.
In Good Omens, like at some points, you know, he's fucking going to be executed in Paris.
Yeah, yeah. I got you.
Like, it's just a cool thing.
In the church, that was fucking funny when he's like, yeah. he's walking on holy ground. Yeah. And the fucking holy water's bubbling and shit. That's funny.
I like when he takes out of his safe with the fucking tweezers.
So, again, coming from a point where I don't know anything about it, it was a little confusing. Like, not the beginning. I knew what happened, switch, people switched. But then you get into the witch hunter stuff, and I got so lost, and it's because I haven't finished it yet. Yeah. They haven't gotten to the town where the little boy is yet. Both have just found him using the same contact, using that same fucking old witch hunter dude. I think it's 3 or 4, one of those, I can't remember. But I can't, it's confusing because I was like, I don't understand where this fucking old dude fits into this whole thing. Like, it was weird to me.
Playing Crowley. And
I know that, but
he's working for both of them, but not really doing.
But he doesn't, and he doesn't. I don't think he remembers or some shit.
The moment when they're talking to each other, and this happens in the second episode, and Crowley says, "I have like a network of human contacts."
Yeah,
it's that guy.
Yeah,
and then when Azrael says, "I have a network of human contacts," it's also that guy, and he's like the only one that's helping them, and so they think. They're both getting help from like different people, and he's giving different information to them and stuff. Yeah. It's actually one of the really funny parts of the book.
There used to be a lot more of them, but now there's not.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was real, that there used to be a lot more of them, Table or whatever.
They're the ones that were wearing the hats that were killing the witch in the second episode that wrote the book.
When they blew up?
Yeah, okay. And that's why there's not so many of them.
Gotcha. Okay. Now it's coming together. Holy shit.
Conspiracy.
You gotta pay a little bit of attention.
It really does. And I learned that as I was watching, because I usually watch and then try and do other things. But because it is slower, I was like, fuck, I got to really pay attention to this. And then I started sitting down. So
right.
But I gave it a thumbs up even halfway through the series. I'm not all the way done.
Yeah.
It's
I'm
funny.
I'm only a couple episodes in. Like I said, I'm going to pick it right up here in about an hour and a half.
I kind of posted it, but have you guys seen American Gods also?
No, I have not seen that yet.
Shit. Talk about it next week.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
Or 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now.
But yeah, I'm loving it. Sorry, that was weird.
Quit inside. Somebody texted me.
I didn't mean to kill it. I'm just curious.
I haven't watched
American Gods yet.
I haven't.
You guys thought about the...
It looks good, but I haven't.
I don't understand this. His writing is complicated, right?
Yeah, Neil Gaiman's writing is extraordinarily complicated.
And they're knocking it out of the park on the TV shows, but fucking Stephen King, not complicated. You can't make that.
Maybe that's the problem. I don't think Stephen King is nearly the same style of writer, and because he's more descriptive and less stylish, there's a lot less room for interpretation with like a Stephen King novel. He's described exactly what's happening, so if it doesn't look exactly like that on the screen, it doesn't hold up. Whereas Neil Gaiman, so much of it is really imaginative and like leaves so much to the imagination that you, whatever somebody's vision of it is, can work as long as it fits most of the ideas he's presented. I think that's exactly what the problem is.
Definitely has to be something. That makes sense.
I just came up with that right now.
I don't know what it is either.
What do you guys think about The Stand? Yeah. I was like, I think it's going to be canceled before the season
one. See, why didn't you write that down?
I want it to be good.
Put it there.
It's not going
to
be good,
that's
though.
The whole point.
I tried to read that book like 10 times.
I had to just submit and listen to it as an audiobook. I could not read it.
Why is that?
It's fucking big.
It's fucking like 1,300 pages long.
It's like three Bibles, bro.
I've gotten to the part where he's going through the tunnel in New York. He's going through like the Manhattan Tunnel or whatever. Or no, is he going? He's going through the one in the mountains up here.
Yeah.
Was the Eisenhower Tunnel.
Oh, okay.
I've gotten to the part where he's going through the Eisenhower
Tunnel.
Into Colorado probably 6 times while reading it. And every single time been like, wow, that's creepy. Book closed, never read it again. When I was getting to that part in the audiobook, I literally had this moment where I was like, don't give up. Don't give up.
I should go to a different thing.
Shit, listening to a different podcast. What happened?
Same thing. I audiobooked the shit out of
that one. Yeah, you have to. And the audiobook is like 15 all hours
of his,
long.
All of his books are pretty big. I mean, they're not like, not all of them are like probably the that big, but yeah. They're all pretty fucking
it's
big.
Like The Stand, Tommyknockers, and It are like really massive.
Gargantuous.
I didn't have a hard time reading it though for some reason.
I did that for like a 6th grade fucking like a book report, and I did the book report for like an hour and a half. It was way too long.
You know why I think It is easier to read is because it goes back and forth between two really linear stories with the same characters. So you're like, oh, what's going to happen next? Oh, what's going to happen next? Oh, what's going to happen next? The Stand tries to do the same thing, but with like 15 fucking sets of characters. Yeah. And you never know who's going to be in the next chapter. And sometimes it's the character you like. And sometimes it's the character you just don't give a fuck about. And that's really weird. It's a long ass book.
Yeah, and his shit's too intertwined and weird.
His son just has that new vampire show out right now.
Which one's that?
It's called. Oh, what the fuck is it? It's like, has an 8 in the title.
Is that the funny one?
No, it's the one where like the vampire takes little kids to Christmas land and like slowly consumes their souls.
Is that Nosferatu?
Nosferatu, yeah, I think so.
Yes. It looks like a license plate. Spelled like a license plate.
Yeah.
I've read good things about it. I haven't seen any.
It's a pretty cool comic book. I remember that.
I have not seen it at all.
I haven't seen that. I thought you were talking about the other one, the one What We Do in the Shadows.
That movie's fucking hilarious.
I heard that was funny. Yeah.
It is really fucking funny. Maybe we can talk about that in one of the next episodes too. Oh man.
Well, we've got 5 minutes left. I mean, unless we want to just stop talking.
Well, some final thoughts. Are you obviously?
I'm not. Again, I am going to finish it. I thought it was slower, but you know, looking at it and talking to you guys, it kind of seems like it should be that way, anyways. So I enjoyed it. It's not. I'll definitely finish it, and hopefully. But like you said, if it ends the way it ends, then there's not going to be a second season. But I'd be down for a second season.
All right, you
good. Who knows these days?
Show was so good it made me want to go find the book and listen to it probably.
Oh, worth it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why what you were saying, Doyle. That's why Neil Gaiman and them haven't said anything about the controversy, because they're like, this is it. Like, we're not doing anymore. Fuck yourselves.
Well, and not just that, like...
Well, it's not on Netflix.
Well, that too, yeah, that too.
I think he's laughing his ass off. Like, what the fuck is going on?
And it's not like the first time he's written a book that's been controversial like that. No. And most of the controversy surrounding this book happened in 1990, dude. Think about a 1990 audience getting this book dropped in their lap. Like, and they're,
American
they're
going... American Gods got crazy shit, too, when it came out.
Exactly. Like,
Coraline amazingly got crazy shit when it came out.
Well, that's because it's like about dead arms. Children. I mean,
dead children are the creepiest thing on earth.
Yeah.
Coraline is a scary as fuck kids book, dude.
And children's movie. It gave Hannah nightmares. Like, just straight up gave Hannah nightmares.
The movie she's didn't do watched, much to me, but I was reading the book and I was like, oh.
She has watched some crazy fucking shit in her house. Like, and she got nightmares from Coraline. She woke up and she's like, Daddy, everybody has button eyes. I'm like, fuck
you. Yeah, that button eyes shit is creepy.
I'm like, fuck off with that right now. It's 3 a.m. and you are little and standing right next to my bed. Fuck off with that. You are just as bad as that movie.
The good Lord has never saw fit to give me kids. I would murder a child, dude. And this 3-year-old standing next to my bed in dead silence in the dark of night is going
to
throw punches.
Two minutes to go and he killed a kid.
Yeah. With that, this has been episode 115.
That's literally what we're ending it on.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Juan.
I'm Tim.
Don't kill kids.
Don't kill kids.
Yeah, don't kill kids. Take us out, though.
This is Thinking Outside the Long Box. Thank you very much. Bye. We're
not going to see. Oh.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.